Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. 16. In today's video, I talk about Lear expanding their seating plant for GM in Detroit. Aperterra was awarded a $21 million grant from the California Energy Commission. Aboard the Huracan GT3 Evo 2, the Iron Dames, an all-female crew. And let's see, Dodge Durango Hellcat owners sue over new Dodge Durango Hellcat. Germany forms an alliance against the phase-out of the internal combustion engine by 2035. GM agrees to a 10% hourly pay increase at its Mexico truck plant. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking that play button. I'm Mario Gear. I've been involved in the automotive industry for over 15 years, and I enjoy sharing my enthusiasm for all automotive topics with you. So let's begin. Alrighty, our first story comes up. Lear expand seating plant for Detroit, or GM in Detroit. The plant launched operations late last year to supply GM's Factory Zero on the Detroit. Automotive seating supplier Lear Corp is moving to expand its new plant in Detroit. The company has signed a lease to fill the remaining 268,000 square feet at the former Cadillac stamping plant on the city's east side, the company confirmed. Lear is now the sole tenant of the 684,000 square foot space developed by Riverside, Missouri based North Point Development LLC. The supplier started just in time seating operations there last year, supplying GM company Factory Zero on the Detroit Hammeratic track or border. Lear decided to declined to provide details about the expansion. It is the latest in a series of planned local expansions for Lear, which ranks among the world's largest automotive suppliers with $20.9 billion in revenue in 2022. In addition to the Detroit plant, Lear announced last year it plans to open an $80 million plant and create hundreds of jobs in Independent Township, where it will make battery disconnect units for all full-size SUVs and trucks built on GM's Ultium EV platform through 2030. Ray Scott, elsewhere in Michigan, Lear is plotting $32.5 million of investments, including at its Sterling Heights and Traverse City plants. The investments are a sign that the Biden administration's effort to onshore the manufacturing supply chain, including the Inflation Reduction Act last year, are working. Since GM announced $7 billion in EV investments in Michigan last year, suppliers including Lear and Magna International have followed with expansion plans. Lear CEO Ray Scott, among the 2022 Crain's Newsmakers of the Year, alluded to more announcements to come last year during the Newsmaker event at the MGM Grand Detroit. He told Crain's last October that localizing production and flexing its manufacturing plant were its main priorities for Lear. There we go. So we got Lear and a few other companies that are doing investments in Detroit. So let's move on to the next story. Terra awarded $21 million grant from California Energy Commission to help bring solar EVs to production. Must be nice. solar electric vehicle startup Aperta Motors shared encouraging news today as it has been awarded a grant from the California Energy Commission to the tune of $21 million. The grant comes as a welcome news for Aperta as it looks to reach scale production of its namesake solar EV. As one of the few startups left trying to successfully scale the sustainability technology for the masses. While we've seen other solar electric vehicle startups shutter or pivot their business away from EV manufacturing, Aperta Motors continues to push forward with hopes of achieving what its competitors could not: scale SEV series production. Aperta's long journey towards this goal made significant headways in January with the debut of its Launch Edition Solar EV. While the technology is set to debut on the Launch Edition, Aperta looks beyond promising is in unmatched range in aerodynamics. The company's co-founder shared that massive amounts of additional funding were still required to reach production, which remains at least a year away. 1 week later, the startup launched a crowdfunding campaign called Accelerate Aperta, seeking to raise an additional $20 to $50 billion to help propel its technology towards production. The Clever campaign asks its loyal community of reservation holders to invest at least $10,000 in cause as part of a sort of funding contest, complete with a leaderboard that prioritizes first SEV deliveries to whomever donates the most. To date, the Accelerate program has generated nearly $8 million in funding and secured production slots for 544 reservation holders. With the current leader's investment eclipsing $1 million at the time of the crowdfunding announcement. Aperta's co-founder also announced the company had received a grant of $21 million, but it was all but guaranteed since the process would not be complete until February or March. Today, however, Aperta has confirmed an official award of the state grant in California, which, combined with the accelerator program, will help the startup inch even closer to scale SEVs production. Here are the latest. Let's see. Aperta Motors SEV production progress accelerates. Top comment, blah, blah, blah. In a release today, the startup confirmed the award of the $21 million grant, which will support solar mobility manufacturing project in California. The California Energy Commission awarded the money to Aperta in support of the project, which entails manufacturing components and the vehicle in the state while lowering cumulative greenhouse gases. CEC Commission Patty Monahan spoke. As we previously reported, the grant will operate as a reimbursement program, meaning Aperta must complete eligible purchases, production equipment, machines, etc., up to $21 million with its own money first. Then the CEC will pay the company back after. Still, fresh funding is exciting news for both employees hard at work at Aperta HQ and those reservation holders looking to get behind the wheel of one of the first production model SEVs, co-founder and co-CEO Chris Anthony also spoke about the grant. Working with the CEC enabled us to produce grid-free, carbon-neutral solar mobility. while creating new jobs for all Californians, targeting 10% in undeserved communities. Our ever-arcing goal is to meet the demand for our solar electric vehicles to have a real impact on climate change, sharing in CEC's ultimate mission. Looking ahead, Aperta Motors is already planning to bolster SEV production in California by moving its specialized in-wheel motor manufacturing over from Europe once scale has been achieved. The Accelerate Aperta program is scheduled to end on March 26, 2023. From there, we will get the final investment total from reservation holders joining the $21 million already awarded. The Aperta SEV is available for reservation for only $100 down, $70 if you use this link. So link to this article will be in the show description notes. So there we go. Let's move on to our next story. Aboard the Huracan GT3 Evo 2, the Iron Dames and all-female crew. Cool. Let's get into the story. Race to Inspire, the GT racing partnership between Lamborghini, Squadra Corsa, and Iron Lynx. Women driven by dreams, these are the Iron Dames behind the wheel of the Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2 number 83. Colored hot pink like the race suits that set them apart in the paddock. In their mission to race to inspire. Created in 2018 by Deborah Meyer, entrepreneur, race driver, and president of the FIA's Women in Motorsports Commission, Iron Dames is the perfect aimed at supporting women in motorsports at all levels, from driver through mechanics, engineers, and managers. The formidable team is comprised of four female drivers, while with razor-sharp determination, we've proven that we can win against everyone. They say in unison, we are strong and we are fighters. And slowly but surely, we're changing the mentality of the sport. From the youngest, Doreen Pinn, 19, to the oldest, Rail Frey, 36, they share one vision. We wear a pink suit, it's true, but when we put on our helmets on, we're drivers who want to win and nothing more. Iron Dames is a project run by Iron Lynx, the Italian racing stable chosen by Lamborghini Squadra Corsa as the operating team for the IMSA Endurance Cup 2023, which will participate in an official team in the FIA WEC with Lamborghini LMDH from 2024. The partnership in both GT3 and LMDH competitions in Europe and in the United States was announced last November. Ever since we announced our intention to race in the LMDH category, it was clear to us that Iron Lynx was the right partner, said Stefan Winkelmann, chairman and CEO of Automobilia Lamborghini. Over the years, Iron Lynx has proven to be a fast, strong, and successful entity, just like Lamborghini's motorsports division. The Iron Dames project is made up of motivated women with a strong passion and motivation pushing the racing world beyond limits and gender barriers, said Deborah Meyer, chairwoman of DC Racing Solutions and project founder of the Iron Dames. We race to inspire women to follow their dreams and take the first step into motorsports because we have proven that anything is truly possible. Racing head-to-head with their male colleagues following the debut in January at Daytona aboard the number 83 Huracan GT3 Evo 2. In March, the Iron Dames will be competing in IMSA Endurance Cup at Sebring for the second round of the championships after Daytona. The four-member team, Rael Frey, Michelle Getting, Sarah Bovey, and Doreen Penn, swap places in the cockpit of the car during the very long hours of endurance races. We are like sisters born to different mothers, they say, emphasizing the close harmony of the team. And then we go on here. They have basically bios up for all of the members. And you guys can check out the rest of the article within the show notes. So we'll move on to that. And let's move on to the next story. Dodge Durango Hellcat owners sue over new Dodge Durango Hellcat. The Durango Hellcat is back for 2023, and some owners of the 2021 model Dodge Durango Hellcat aren't happy about it. Yeah, I don't think so either. There is a Durango Hellcat for 2023 because Dodge likes selling cars, though some buyers of the 2021 Durango Hellcat aren't happy about it. Seven of them have now sued Stellantis, Dodge's parent company, because they say they wouldn't have paid so much for their 2021 Hellcats, which sold out pretty quickly, if they had known another was coming or even never bought them at all. The suit was filed Wednesday in the U.S. District Court of Delaware. The Durango Hellcat's owners are identified as Stacy Phillips, Lawrence Willis, Elijah Newgren III, Christian Papana, Jason Van Gerderen, Mark Hollingsworth, and Jeffrey G. Heinz Sr., all of whom who bought Hellcats for up to $114,225. The heart of the complaint is that Dodge initially insisted that the 2021 Durango would be the only Durango Hellcat before Dodge decided that it wouldn't be, thus devaluing the 2021 Dodge Hellcat around 3,000 of which were sold. According to the suit, the plaintiffs accused Stellantis of unjust enrichment and false advertising, among other things, from the complaints. And we could read here, it looks like it's about a blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's get into the heart of the nitty-gritty of this article here. In or about July 2020, defendants announced that they would be producing and selling for 2020 only a one-year limited production run of the Dodge Durango Hellcat vehicle. Dodge Chief Executive Officer Tim Kuninski stated in or about January 2nd, 2020, at the launch of the 2021 model line, that Dodge Hellcat would be a single-year run for the 21 model year, and then it would be gone. in that widely watched and heavily covered promotional press launch on July 2nd, 2020, to introduce the Dodge 2021 lineup of vehicles. He touted various features of the Hellcat vehicle, including that the Hellcat possessed 710 horsepower, was the most powerful SUV in the world, and can carry more, tow more, and go from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. He told consumers that the Dodge was only producing and selling a single year run of the Hellcat, which would be model year 2021 Hellcat. Kinesis represented that the Hellcat Durango would be a single model year run when we turn the order books over to the 22 model year. The Durango Hellcat will be gone, so you only have one slot to buy one. Official press materials created by the company made the same or similar statements. I wonder if this is going to get settled out of court. The Durango Hellcat owners are also asking the court to grant the suit class action status to apply to other Durango Hellcat owners that also want an unspecified amount of compensatory and punitive damages. They want an injunction stopping Dodge from making the new Durango Hellcat, and they want their legal fees covered, all of which seems like a bit much, but this is what happens when you piss off owners of the Durango Hellcats. A Stellantis spokesman said in a statement that they don't discuss active litigations. You can read the full civil complaint here. I'll post a link. I included this link to the full case statement in the show notes so you guys can check it out. So what do you guys think? It's like they presented it this way in a, you know, press release that they were going to produce this vehicle, and they said it was only going to be 1 year, and basically saying, yeah, get your order in now or you're not going to get one. So a bunch of people, you know, got their order in. They were able to afford it, qualify for whatever loans. They got it, and now they pulled the stunt. Oh, we realized that, yeah, it's we sold out really quick, so we want to produce some more a following year. Can't have it both ways, I personally think. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that these original Durango owners have a leg to stand on, or do you think it's they're going to get wiped around the courtroom with the Stellantis board of lawyers? So, what do you think? Comment down below. Here we go. Our next story here: Germany forms alliance against phase out of internal combustion engines by 2035. It says Italy, Poland, and the Czech Republic, among others, are siding with it. Ooh. Berlin. Germany has formed an alliance with Italy and some Eastern European countries opposing the planned phase-out of internal combustion engines from 2035, and they want to make their own proposal. Transport minister from the Czech Republic, Germany, Italy, Poland, Romania, Hungary, and Slovakia met on Monday to discuss changes to the European Union's plan. The proposal needs changes urgently, German Transport Minister Volker Wissing said on Monday. Wissing said the skepticism about phasing out internal combustion vehicles was shared by Italy, Poland, and the Czech Republic, among others. He added that the group of countries want to separate categories of combustion engine cars that could run on synthetics, carbon neutral fuels after 2035. A ban on combustion engines. It can run in a climate neutral way seems a wrong approach for us, he said. The CO2 law, the EU's main tool to speed up European shift to electric vehicles, was put on hold earlier this month after last-minute opposition from Germany that surprised policymakers in Brussels and other member states, since the EU countries and the European Parliament had already agreed to a deal on the law last year. So there we go on that one. So, yeah, what they're saying as far as, you know, the alternative fuels, yeah, it's like there's already works on there. There's a gentleman named Mike Copeland of Arlington Performance who's been working with Bosch Industries to develop, you know, take a conventional internal combustion engine and to run it on hydrogen fuel, cleaner burning. So I think these are what they are shooting for as far as what's happening. So yeah, definitely comment down below what you guys think on this one, because, you know, internal combustion engines, yeah, are probably on the, you know, behind the bullseye, but I personally think 2035, we're rushing, it's too soon, in my own opinion, that we don't have the infrastructure yet for EVs, let alone production, or, you know, to create for demand. They're just now, like Tesla's now just rolling out with their semi-rigs, and as well as there are a few other companies that are supplying, you know, for, you know, commerce, you know, but they're not set up yet for interstate travel, you know, to be even economically feasible, in my opinion. Yeah, like last time, when was the last time you were at a Pilots or Flyers or Flying J's truck stop and seen super charging stations for big rigs? Yeah, you don't. So, yeah, comment down below what you guys think. Do you think we're pushing the 2035 deadline is too soon? Or we should be pushing back maybe, like, let's say 2055? Or maybe 2065. There we go. Yeah, let's go 2065. That sounds about doable. So, yeah, comment down below what you guys think. All right. GM agrees to 10% hourly pay increase at Mexico truck plant, union says. The increase at the GM's pickup plant in the central city of Silao will go into effect for 1 year as of March 25th and tops last year's deal for 8.5% pay raise, the head of the local union say. General Motors agrees to hike salaries by 10% this year at its largest Mexico factory, the local union said on Monday, making for one of the biggest recent raises in the sector in Mexico. The increase at GM's pickup truck plant in the central city of Silao will go into effect for 1 year as of March 25th and tops last year's deal of 8.5% pay raises, said Silao union member Sanata. This overcomes the two-digit barrier that has not been reached in the automobile industry in many years, Sanata said in a statement. It added that the above inflation increase, as well as other benefits, will help workers recover purchasing power. GM did not immediately reply for a request for comment. Workers at GM's Silao plant elected Sanata in February 2022 after ousting their longtime labor representatives, hoping the new union would fight for better pay and conditions. And in other recent salary deals in Mexico, automakers agreed to raise pay 9.4% at Audi, 9% at Volkswagen, and 9% at Nissan Motor Company. So, looks like great workers over in Mexico, automaker or auto workers in Mexico are getting a cost of living increase. Yeah, comment down below. What do you think? Do you think these pay raises are justified? Do you think that the manufacturers are going to pass those costs off back to us, the consumers, when the vehicles are shipped here? Yeah, comment down below.